about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We're awake, right?
Who?
Us.
You're asking if we're awake? Me and you.
Yeah, I was just... You know, sometimes you're in the middle of a dream.
Do you say everything that comes to your head?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Get it, Dean? If you have to start a sentence with, I mean this in a creepy way. And it's creepy, all right? It's creepy.
Look, let's discuss harassment for a second. Why can't I harass you? Sometimes... I can never harass you. Never.
And now.
Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
Our feature presentation.
I don't believe I like the implications of that open. I gotta tell ya. By the way, I think the great Patrice O'Neill, the comedian there, I think he had an excellent idea that there needs to be a one-day-a-year harassment holiday where it's allowed, where all the things that you bottle up all year long that you want to say to your coworkers, for instance, I think he suggested the Tuesday before November, or before Thanksgiving, rather. I think that's the day that you get, and you kind of have a free pass to say it.
Well, right before Thanksgiving, it's so appropriate, too.
Exactly, right?
I love that
so
idea,
just
yeah.
Have one day to kind of get it out of your system.
Sure.
I think that's an excellent idea, so I'm going to lobby for that as well. Hey, Lisa May, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Bean?
It's Wednesday. It's the 25th of June, which means it is half Christmas.
Yay!
So happy half Christmas to everybody today.
Thank you.
6 months from, 6 months till the most beautiful day of the year,
all
half
right.
Christmas. It's a thing now.
Well, it's your thing.
It
I
is
don't know if it's our thing.
Definitely my thing. Before we get started today, we really do have an outstanding program for you today. Your thoughts on driverless cars on the road, please.
Could be cool.
Uh-huh.
Could, you know, as a traffic reporter, I have to say it might be a whole lot safer.
Really? You think it's interesting that you think it, do you think it's likely to be safer or less safe having
well,
people
I don't know.
Not
do,
control
do
their
we
cars?
All have driverless cars?
Well, I mean, I think that's the hope of the future. I mean, that's what we always saw, you know, in the sci-fi movies is that nobody has to steer anymore because, you know, there's mechanics that takes care of that.
I think safer because of people like Dave, the King of Mexico, who cannot mm-hmm. stop tweeting.
Yeah, Dave is a perfect candidate for the driverless car because he doesn't have to have his windshield wipers on, because he can sleep behind the wheel.
Right.
He can text, he can tweet, all the stuff he's doing now, but he doesn't also have to pay attention. Now, it's in the news right now because there is a company called Cruise that's in the Bay Area, and they have just opened pre-orders on a $10,000 kit that converts. So far, it's just one car. It's newer Audi models.
Okay.
And it basically puts in an autopilot system for you. They've only mapped out the San Francisco Bay Area so far. They're only offering 50 pre-orders. So that's the start. 50 pre-orders, $10,000 just for Audis, just in the Bay Area.
Wow, that is a very narrow sample.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Right, okay.
They use cameras and radar mounted on the car's roof, plus a computer in the trunk that controls actuators for braking, steering, and acceleration to make the cruise control happen. Once activated, it says here, Cruise can take a car around curves, make judgments about keeping a safe following distance. It also decides to speed up or slow down depending on traffic conditions. You know, there was a time before any of us remember, but there was a time when cruise control was introduced. And I'm sure people flipped out that you wouldn't have your foot on the brake, right?
Yes.
Or on the gas, I mean. I'm sure it's an adjustment. I mean, there are a lot of people right now who are terrified of the thought of driverless cars. But like any other kind of new technology, I bet it's going to happen. And I bet it's something we're just going to get used to.
I think the biggest roadblock is going to be that people want to go faster. You know?
Ah, interesting, because it probably builds in speed limits.
Yeah, and safety limits, which a lot of us ignore, especially
right.
You know, if we leave late for work or whatever, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't use it if you're in a situation where you're in a hurry or you know, you feel like you want to go 40 on a 25 and your human judgment is that it's safe.
Right.
But the car probably would be built in to not allow you to do that.
Yeah.
But this is a real thing, by the way, and it says that the pre-orders are expected to be fulfilled at the beginning of 2015. Mm-hmm. Most similar companies are looking at a release the following year, 2016. So it's definitely a change that seems to be coming to California first and seems to be coming soon.
I could sit in the backseat, right?
You can
like
do whatever you want.
Someone important and just play with my computer. Whatever.
Just imagine, though, for all the people. Yeah, whatever. Indeed,
whatever.
By the way. Just imagine for all the people who are always complaining about not getting enough sleep. If you could just get up and get dressed and get to the car, then you could get that last hour nap before you get to work.
That would be the best.
If these things work, if this works the way they hope it would, then that would be your deal.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
All right, there you go. We will keep you posted. Now let's talk about today's great show.
I feel like dancing today, and I feel like rejoicing because this is a big day. It means so much to me.
Well, it should, because we've got a brand new Internet Roundup on the program for you next hour with some great stuff for you to watch. Also, Sonia Thomas on the program today. You don't know her name, but she is one of the world's greatest competitive eaters. I don't think of a lot of women in this field. But Sonia, a delicate little flower, is going to be competing at Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest coming up on the 4th of July. So we'll find out how she does it.
Okay.
The beautiful Kat Dealey on the program today, host of So You Think You Can Dance.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, is back with a new comic. This one's called Outcast. We'll talk to Robert all about that today. Your boyfriend Schmidt in studio with us today, Lisa.
I love him. He's so great.
He is Max Greenfield from New Girl and mm-hmm. Two awesome new movies that are coming out this summer that we'll talk to them all about. Adam Carolla's got This Week in Rage. And I'm very excited. If you follow the monkey, our man Kevin, on Twitter, you know that it's been nothing but bar fights, hookers, and hot chicks at football matches. That's all he's been tweeting about. So since he's been down in Brazil for the World Cup. But we're going to talk to his right-hand man, Linus, and find out what else is going on with Kevin. Because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff he's got going in Brazil that we don't know about.
Oh, yeah. And that stuff that you just mentioned, that's all the stuff we expected.
Right, exactly.
That's no surprise there.
What else is Kevin doing in Brazil? And how is it possible that he's still alive? We'll talk to his assistant, Linus, coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next here on K-Rock. Wednesday morning on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Time for our very first look at the showbiz beat. Here's our friend, Ralph Garman.
What's it take? What's it take to take him out? What do we have to
take
do?
What could we be talking about here?
Snuff out his candle.
Who we trying to wipe out here?
Justin Bieber.
Oh,
ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
got
to go.
Got into a car accident yesterday afternoon.
Dead?
But he's fine.
Oh.
Stupid. TMZ says he was a passenger in an Escalade. Of course he was. Probably being driven by Lil Snap or whoever that is.
One of the Lils. One of his cookie-related friends.
One of his many Lils that he hangs out with. He was passenger in an Escalade that was being chased by paparazzi in Beverly Hills. A BMW pulled out of a restaurant parking lot and rammed into the Escalade. Justin was not hurt, neither was anyone else. He jumped out of the Escalade, jumped into another car, and took off. Let's see, the president?
Jeez.
Well, he was a passenger. I guess he didn't have any obligation to stick around, unless they wanted a witness.
Still, he's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's not the right kind of accident.
Whatever would be in fine.
I know we're talking to Kat Dealey later on, so I watched the latest So You Think You Can Dance last night, mm-hmm. and Bieber is on it this year. He's doing some sort of a thing where he's getting you to call in and vote for dance crews or something like that. You can't believe this guy's in show business, Ralph, when you see how bad he is on camera at reading a freaking teleprompter.
You just can't read.
It's like they brought a kid who'd never been on TV before off the street and told him to talk. It's unbelievable how bad he is.
Well, I'm sure it's compounded by the fact that he does not give a rat's ass. I'm sure he's
about
not trying.
Anything, yeah.
He's not trying to do a decent job.
Yeah.
So he's just standing there, surly, just sort of reading whatever words are in front of him with no emotion whatsoever, I can imagine.
Because he does seem to go through life now, like everything he's supposed to do, he doesn't want to do.
Right. Even a red carpet. You see the look on his face when you're taking his picture?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think it was a firing squad. Like they're lining him up against the wall. And they're going to give him a cigarette and a blindfold. He looks just miserable.
He does.
Sad news. One of the great character actors, Mr. Eli Wallach, passed away. Legendarily starred in some classic westerns like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He also appeared in The Magnificent Seven. He was Mr. Effin' Freeze on Batman.
Yeah!
Had over 160 credits in movies and TV shows to his name. Passed away this week at the age of 98. Not a bad run, Mr. Wallach.
I read somewhere this morning that he won a Tony Award during the Truman administration.
Yeah,
that's how long this guy's been in show business.
And he was in Godfather 3 and just a string of great performances by this guy. He was never bad. One of the early graduating members of the studio in New York City, you know, with Brando and all
that.
Strasburg?
Strasburg
Studio, yeah.
Right.
So he was one of the good ones.
Absolutely.
And this makes me sad. Jessica Alba sad. According to InTouch magazine, her company, The Honest Company, has had a lot of problems. In fact, the Better Business Bureau has taken away her accreditation.
Why?
Well, she's been linked with a Chinese manufacturer of FDA-banned goods. And Jessica is taking this all very hard. Apparently, you know, sometimes if you're a celebrity, the business end of the business is sort of taken care of without your complete knowledge.
Right.
And apparently that was the case here, where some shady goings-on were going on, and she was not completely in the loop, but it is her company, and she believed in it. Now she's very sad. She's been seen crying and taking the whole thing very hard.
Is there anything I can do to help her?
You could buy the company off her, I'm guessing. I think it's gonna
be something we're personal in mind.
A sucking chest wound of money for her for a while until this all gets sorted out.
I'm with you. I don't ever want Jessica Alba to be sad.
No, we want her to be happy and sunshine and roses all the time. But she smells great. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Carly Simon. She is 69 years old today. Ugh, she is so vain. She probably thinks I'm talking about her right now. Actor Ricky Gervais is 53. Angela Kinsey, you know her from The Office.
Sure.
43 years old. Linda Cardellini turns 39. Actress Busy Phillips, her co-star from Freaks and Geeks, is 35 years old today. And George Michael. You remember him from Wham, and then from his own successful solo career, and then from that restroom at the Will Rogers State Park, where if you knock three times, good things would happen with you and George Michael. He is 51 years old today, and I'm guessing he is stalled somewhere on a highway in England, and he's about to tumble out of the car.
Probably so.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The latest from Coldplay. Check out that video if you get the opportunity to see Chris Martin walking around the streets like a Pied Piper with everybody following him. It's a pretty cool video. Sonia Thomas on the program next hour. She is one of the world's greatest competitive eaters. Lisa, she ate 11 pounds of cheesecake in 9 minutes.
Oh, my God.
11 pounds of cheesecake.
And no reversals.
65 hard-boiled eggs in under 7 minutes.
No.
That's nothing.
65. That's nothing to Bugs. Bugs, why aren't you in the competitive eating world? That's what I
want
to
know. Bring
it on. Also, the beautiful Kat Dealey joins us on the program today and a brand new Internet Roundup. First, though, our man Kevin is in Brazil and still alive. According to his social media, either he or somebody representing Kevin is still tweeting from Brazil, where he's there for the World Cup. We're frankly stunned. All of us blew it in the office pool because we all thought he'd be dead in the first 48 hours.
Yep.
But we wanted to find out what's going on with the monkey down there. So we go now on the phone live to Brazil. His assistant, his personal man, Linus, joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hi, Linus. Welcome back, sir.
Hello, the other one. Hello, the woman.
Hello.
Linus, are you having the time of your life in Brazil for the World Cup?
Oh, I'm just exhausted. You have no idea what it's like for Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. When you're representing Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, it's a full-time job.
Uh-huh.
Being there for all of Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show's needs.
Well, I understand that, and I know he had a very busy travel schedule. He and Brad Williams were trying to go to a whole bunch of games in a short amount of time. There are a lot of flights to catch, a lot of connections. I'm sure a lot of details that you were responsible for as his assistant.
Yes, because Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show is just such a genius. He is just such a big picture person that sometimes the details just sort of slip through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
With him.
Understood. Yeah, you got to definitely take care of him.
So I have to be there at his beck and call 24 hours a day because, as you know, when you're as wealthy as Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, you've learned a certain set standard of living that you have to keep up with. And unless he's just enjoying that standard of living, he just cannot be satisfied.
Wow, that's interesting because a lot of people, they understand they don't have the comforts of home when they travel to a foreign country. They just kind of have to take what it gives them.
The comforts of home pale to comparison to what Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show has when he travels. I mean, he is right now, he is constantly drunk, first of all. but not just on anything. He insists on drinking a special kind of alcohol that's his own concoction that is distilled from the native carambola fruit here in Brazil and then filtered through the human skin of teenage virgin girls.
What?
That sounds complicated,
Linus. It is very complicated. It's a full-time job just keeping him drunk. He likes to call it peasant juice. I don't know why what that means. But
peasant juice.
And, of course, Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show is not one to hold on to things.
Yeah, we
so
know
far,
that.
So far, he has lost his passport 14 times.
Well, that doesn't surprise me
so
at all.
So much so that we've had to have an exact replica of it tattooed on his buttock. You don't want to know where the Customs Department puts the stamp. That's all I'm telling you.
No, you certainly don't.
And, you know, Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show is a man with a lot of dreams and aspirations, a lot of things he wants to do. You don't know that because you're just the other one, and you're the girl.
Yeah.
But he is a very complicated, very, very big-minded man. And in fact, he's always wanted to be a surgeon. So he's taking advantage of the low cost of living here in Brazil, and he is hiring elders in villages, 85 cents, if they'll go under the knife for him to work on.
He's
Wait,
doing
hold on.
Surgery?
He's practicing surgery. He doesn't know how to do surgery. He's never
That's
been to medical
he's
school.
That's why he's practicing.
But you can't just pay poor people to let them cut into your skin.
Turns out in Brazil you can.
Oh, my God.
85 cents if you go under the knife, $1.97 if you survive. So they've got a reason to live.
Oh, no.
Of course, Kevin at the Kevin DeBean Show is a man of great passion as well. And he has just made some very close relationships with a couple of the locals, Coco and Lola.
Well, I'm glad to hear he's making friends, but tell me about the ladies.
Well, here's the thing. In Brazil, they have some very convincing transsexuals.
Uh-huh.
And Kevin found out that the hard way.
I see. All right.
Coco and Lola spent several evenings with Kevin, and now for some reason he can't sit down. I don't know what that means.
Oh, no. Lightness.
The problem may have been that Kevin at the Kevin DeBean Show only really knows Brazil as having nuts. And so he's been going around screaming, I want Brazil nuts, I want Brazil nuts. And then Coco and Lola took care of that.
Gotcha.
A little bit of confusion from Kevin, I understand, yes.
He also likes to pay the small children of the villages $1 to round up all the used heroin syringes on the beach and play human darts with each other.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
If you throw a syringe and it sticks, he gives you $1, crisp U.S. dollar. He's increasing the standard of living down here tenfold.
Just sounds like he's trading on human misery down there.
And for his political aspirations, he is, in fact, yes, the rumors are true, running for the mayor of Rio de Janeiro.
Are you kidding me?
He has decided that his campaign slogan will be, Me Gusto Queso.
And
which,
that
course,
means?
In Spanish means, I love cheese. But Kevin at the Kevin DeBean Show does not realize that they speak Portuguese down here.
So who knows how the voting is going to go for him. Lisa, how come a few days ago when it was Bring Your Dog to Work Day, you didn't bring your dog to work, and then today you did bring your dog to work?
Hold on.
Sorry.
Repeat that, please, for Lisa.
Oh, Lisa did not have her headphones on.
No. I did not. I'm sorry.
Never mind. Moving on. Hey, King. How are you?
Happy half Christmas to you. How are you, my friend?
Don't say that. But Lisa likes to leave her dog in the car, so, you know, that's why.
I had to go. I forget, you know. Don't worry about it. Let's just keep going.
I tried to.
So
but
not
then,
important.
Then Dave went backwards.
I know.
The King of Mexico is our producer here on the Kevin DeBean Show, and he's also the guy who puts together the Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Dave finds all the best viral videos of the week and puts them in one location just for you at KevinDeBean.com or KRock.com. Dave, these kids who are trying to play a Weezer cover in a, it looks like a junior or middle school talent show, is one of the greatest videos I've ever seen in my life.
It's actually a music academy, so it makes it that
really
much better. Yeah,
because these kids look like they've never played their instruments before. You've never seen anything worse. So how old do you reckon they are?
They're probably like maybe 10, 11.
All right, 10 or 11 years old. They get up and they're doing a Weezer song, and then about 15 seconds into the show, the keyboard just collapses onto the stage, and it's so priceless the way they just stand there and all start just looking at each other. Even listening to the audio, it's hilarious.
First rock and roll smashed keyboard.
Well, they did get it together and come back and perform, and you're going to wish that the keyboard had collapsed again when you hear how bad these kids are.
Thank you.
Oh, Look, I shouldn't hate because I can't play any musical instruments. So these kids are already better than I am. But it does look like they've never played before, and they certainly have never played this song before. But hilarious stuff. Old Spice is back. Remember for a while they just had the hottest commercials on the internet and on TV. And
oh,
it
yeah.
seems like they've been away for a while. But Terry Crews is back. In this new video, he tries to drill his way through the earth to thank somebody for something. And he keeps ending up in all sorts of weird places. And it is, again, best watched on heavy drugs.
Hello, President! Oops! I'm in Egypt! Oh, no! I'm in space! Power!
The thing about the Old Spice ads that's weird is they don't have anything to do with Old Spice.
Not a thing. But we know who it's for.
Just crazy. Anders Nilsson is his name. He's the guy who's trying to create the Song of the Summer, which is a big deal. That's the record that everybody loves, that everybody listens to all hot season long. He's Norwegian. Is that your guess here, Dave?
I think so. He sounds like it. Him and his friends sound like it, yeah.
So he basically he studied Songs of the Summer, and he came up with a few factors that you need. You need a lyric video, and you need a good beat. And one of the things he discovered is you have a better chance if there's lots of Spanish in your song. Now, he doesn't speak any Spanish. So he just put together a song of all the Spanish words that he does know. And I got to admit, it's pretty catchy.
Yep.
This guy's a genius. As someone who doesn't speak Spanish, I knew every single word in that song.
Yeah, he picked the right words to use. I mean, it's I swear to, and it's a really good musically. It's a really good song. I think that could be a hit. I really do.
You sure that wasn't Omar, by the way?
It does sound a little bit like him. Speaking of unexpected songs, this is great. Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show, of course, has the great musical act The Roots as his house band. And there was a request for a Harry Potter rap. So here's The Roots rapping about your favorite wizard.
And I'm going to tell you about a half-blood wizard boy. This kid, Harry Potter, from the House of Gryffindor. Magical young man from the Badlands. On the run from the prison of Azkaban. Hey, Hermione was like his best friend. And his homeboy, Ron, was his right hand.
I love that there's still new Harry Potter references and things coming out. And you saw they just opened a Harry Potter world in London. Dave, it looks amazing, too. They completely, like, recreated the whole all the
what?
Sets from the movie. Yeah, it looks really cool.
That's awesome.
That's a great video. What's the drunk song all about with Zoe Ann?
Just someone discouraging young people to stop, to don't drink because hangovers suck.
Why is she a downer? Let's hear her song.
Drinking again and you can't remember when you were sober and didn't wake up hungover. Bip on the Instagram for the uncoordinated. It's twice as hard because you're so intoxicated. You just keep on losing for that reason you have to keep boozing. Despite this being amusing, it's your liver which you're abusing.
Apparently, the girl who she's singing about in the song wakes up and, like, had sex the night before and doesn't remember it. And this lady is talking like that's a bad thing. I don't know what's going on. Another very musical internet roundup this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This one's great. This is from Will Wheaton, who has a weekly TV show, I think on Spike, I want to say, on Spike TV?
Sci-fi, maybe.
Yeah. And he reimagined the Game of Thrones title sequence. And I think it sounds like another theme song that maybe we're familiar with.
It's a story.
Very, very funny stuff.
Spoiler alert.
Honest, yeah, right. Honest Trailer, they're back. It's the 20th anniversary, I want to say, of Forrest Gump. And I got to tell you, I know that their intention is to make all these movies sound bad, the way they cut together the Honest Trailer. I watched this, and it made me want to go see Forrest Gump again. I think I forgot what a great movie it is, but check it out.
Experience the epic love story between this damaged woman and the mentally challenged war hero she manipulates, whether it's sending mixed messages.
I'll always be your girl.
Forrest, you stay away from me, okay? You just stay away from me, please.
Hitting it and quitting it. Or hiding his own child from him for 5 years until she has full-blown AIDS and has nowhere else to go.
Jenny came back and stayed with me.
Very well done. And finally, he'll always be the king of late night to us. Our good friend Jimmy Kimmel is back with his weekly segment called This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
There's not many teams in the world that could get in the mouth like that.
The government here in Iraq is a government.
Experts say the worst thing you can do is try to bear if you find yourself face to face with one in the wild.
Reporting live in Moreno Valley, I'm Tony NBC4 News.
When we say we'll you, we mean it.
You can hear all these videos and watch them too at KevinAmin.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bain's Internet Roundup.
Fits in the Tantrums. That's one of the acts you'll see if you find yourself at the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. It's K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014, stop number 2. Foo Fighters are also going to be there. Arctic Monkeys, Kanye West, Broken Bells. Ralph, you're going to be joining Fitz on stage to whistle for them, I hope, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm the official Fitz whistler.
9:10 this morning. Get a chance to qualify for that. Get details at Carrick.com. Speaking of Ralph, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
That was my old radio name, too. Fitz Whistler.
Fitz
Whistler in the morning.
Idea.
Fitz Whistler in the morning.
Yeah, I like it.
Huge in Pacoima. Ryan Seacrest must be stopped. He's everywhere, and we must stop him now.
Well, his goal was always to turn into Dick Clark and own the world.
He's halfway there.
It seems like he's one step closer to that every time I check.
He's turned into a dick. He just needs the Clark now. He just signed to do another show yesterday. It'll be a live special on CBS during Fashion Week, which is fabulous. It's called Fashion Rocks.
Okay.
Maybe you didn't hear me. It's a live special called Fashion Rocks.
Fashion Rocks. All right. What's it all about? Is it about clothes?
Who knows? Yeah, it'll be about clothes.
No.
That means Ryan now has some sort of deal with the devil and all four networks. All four networks.
Shows on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox.
Yes. ABC's got New Year's Rockin' Eve. CBS will have this Fashion Rock show. He does various red carpet shows for NBC. And it's sister network E, of course. He works on that as well.
And he's a correspondent on the Today Show also.
Fox, American Idol. All four networks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the end times.
That guy. What would he...
Remember I told you earlier in the week that Bob Dylan's original handwritten lyrics for Like a Rolling Stone were going up for auction?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Remember I quoted you the ridiculous number of $2 million as what they were estimating it would finally sell for?
Yes.
Right. Well, the gavel came down at the auction yesterday afternoon. An unidentified bidder paid $2.1 million.
Oh, my God.
Which is a world record for song lyrics. Bob scribbled the words down on four sheets of stationery from the Roger Smith Hotel in Washington, D.C. back in 1965. And now someone's the proud owner of those lyrics for just a hair over $2 million.
Who owned it before to sell it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I just think if you're Bob Dylan, you're like, hey.
Hey.
I know, right?
Give the drummer some.
Right? Like, he didn't get a penny of that, probably.
Nope.
That $2 million yesterday.
More music news. Lana Del Rey caused a little bit of a controversy when she did an interview with the Guardian newspaper talking about how she wished she was already dead. This all started because she said her favorite artists were Kurt Cobain and Amy Winehouse, and the reporter said that's so weird because they're both passed away, and that's when she went into this part of the interview where she said she wished she was already dead. Well, someone didn't find that the least bit interesting or romantic. And that was Kurt Cobain's daughter, Frances Bean Cobain, who tweeted to Lana Del Rey this week, "The death of young musicians isn't something to romanticize. I'll never know my father because he died young. And it becomes a desirable feat because people like you think it's cool. Well, it's effing not. Embrace life because you only get one life. And the people you mentioned wasted that life. Don't be one of those people. You're too talented to waste it away."
Wow.
It's kind of powerful and mean something coming from Frances Bean.
It sure does. And she's absolutely right, by the way. These people who romanticize your James Deans
the
and your Marilyn Monroe
Club and
people
all that
like
stuff.
That. Yeah, exactly.
So good for her for taking a stand. And despite being hung up on by Kevin, seems like Sir Paul McCartney has recovered from his illness. He was pretty sick there for a while. But he wants you to know he's feeling great, so much so that he released a video yesterday saying that he's feeling great. That's how you know he's feeling great. Let's hear it from Sir Paul McCartney himself.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Yeah, listen, everybody's been asking me how I feel. I feel great. Thank you very much for asking.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, this is just also a note to say that the dates that was postponed, the concerts and the shows, have been rescheduled for September and October. So come and see us then. We'll come and see you. Feeling great, rocking and rolling.
Feeling great.
How's he feeling, Ralph?
He's feeling great.
Kevin's still a dick for hanging up on me, though.
Yeah,
there you go.
There it was, right there.
There you go.
Telling you, we all missed out on something big. He could have been saying, "See you guys." But oh, by the way, why don't you all become Beatles? And the next thing you know, it was like eight of us. We're all like the eight Beatles. Missed out an opportunity.
But you say goodbye, but Kevin's already hung up.
That's true.
Hung up
on Paul
McCartney. Don't know why you say goodbye. Kevin's already hung up.
He did hang up on Paul McCartney. But he's feeling great. Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born on today, the 25th of June.
Half Christmas?
Stop it.
Must be awesome for them to have a birthday that's also a holiday.
It's not a holiday. It's not a thing. Yeah. Singer Carly Simon, 69 years old today. Ricky Gervais celebrates his 53rd birthday. Angela Kinsey. There's something in common. They both were on an office.
Mm-hmm.
43 years old. Linda Cardellini. Very talented actress. She is 39 years old. Busy Phillips turns 35 today. And singer George Michael. George Michael! He's 51 today. All girls to the dance floor.
George Michael wrote that song when he was 17 years old. He wrote Careless Whisper.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what I was doing when I was 17?
Throwing rocks at your neighbor, Robbie Joyner?
That's right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Our friend Max Greenfield from The New Girl joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He has two awesome movies coming out this summer, Lisa, both of which you will love, by the way.
Excellent.
So we'll talk to him later on. Also, Kat Dealey from So You Think You Can Dance and Deadbeat on Hulu joins us in just a few minutes. First, though, 4th of July right around the corner. This is the time of year where the holidays come fast and furious. You know, it's half Christmas today, and then
right.
You look up, and the next thing you know, it's the 4th of July. And that means the Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest, which is a big, big, big deal. You can see that on ESPN. A woman who will be participating for her 12th year in a row, having won it the last 3 years, by the way, as a women's champion, 2011, 2012, 2013, is Sonia Thomas. She is the Black Widow. And she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Miss Thomas. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Great to talk to you. So 12 years in a row heading out to Nathan's. Why is this the biggest event in competitive eating?
Especially, it's Nathan's famous hot dog eating competition. It's like an annual, and they starting about 1912. And this is, it's an honor to be there in the States. And so that's why I keep competing. In 2003, I started first competition, and then just straight until now. And then, especially now, it's July 4th in America, Independence Day, to celebrate for the Americans. It's very special. So that's
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Now, was it watching the results of a Nathan's contest that got you interested in competitive eating in the first place? Back when you became familiar with Kobayashi.
Yes, 2003, yes. I competed with him also, yes.
But he was also your inspiration to get into competitive eating in the beginning, right? He was the guy that you first saw and thought, wow, I want to do that.
Yes, because, you know, before I started competitive eating, then I saw him on the TV news. Oh, one the Asian Japanese guy ate 50 hot dogs bun in 12 minutes. And then it came to my mind. I said, wow, it's surprised they have an eating competition so that they join for this. And then I said, oh my God, then maybe I'm a good eater. You know, I'm a good eater, but I never compete. So I said, I'm gonna try it out. And so that's why I tried out the first competition. It was Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Competition. So that was my foot in the door.
And 2 years ago, you ate 45 hot dogs. That's still your personal best, 45 hot dogs and buns in the competition, right?
It is great. That was 2012, and I set my record for female for 45 in 10 minutes. So I'm hoping this year is a better numbers than before. So hopefully I can set a new record again.
Is there any reason that you can think of, Sonia, that a man's record should be more than a woman's record? Is there some advantage that men have in the sport?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, all the sports, you see the men and women separate division, too, mm-hmm. right? And
right.
golf and basketball. It's a little bit different to the men body build-up. The God made it better, the men and women separate a little bit. So, like a man, he's have a bigger throat. You know, bigger throat, so they can swallow fast.
Oh, bigger throat, okay.
Yeah, bigger throat. Esophagus is bigger. Bigger than woman, right?
Yeah.
And the stomach size, you can expand how much you can do it, too. So I think probably woman had the man is bigger stomach capacity.
Okay, you know, that well, actually, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm so fascinated when I hear you talk about the way that you compete in that it's more than just eating fast. There's eye-hand coordination. There's also a lot of mental activity that goes on. Tell us what you're thinking about while you're competing, Sonia.
Yes, David, you know, I think it's competitive eating in sports. You know, all the sports I try, you know, marathons and bowling, basketball, volleyball, I try everything. I can. And I know all the sports is hard too. You got to practice and you know, it's so hard to get in the top or winning or anything. But competitive eating also too. You know, when you start eating, everybody you watch too, right? And they're eating uh-huh. so fast and they're comfortable, right? In the end, like about 9 or 8 minutes, you know, times go by, then it's so hard. The same thing is a sport. When they're running, it's really good starting. Then when they get to, you know, like level up their time, it's going to be hard. Then you have to fight in yourself to win or you lose. You know, so that's why more mentor. It's the competitive in its mentor, too. So if you're losing your mentor, then you cannot win.
That's very interesting, Sonia. And I think a lot of people are surprised at how rarely there is a reversal in your sport. Is that something that you do mentally to talk yourself out of wanting to throw up?
Oh no! Because the only thing is, as long as like you know, sometimes how much you can eat. But you know, 10 minutes most time is competitive eating is less than 10 minutes. It's
uh-huh.
because that's big quantity of food. And then if it's not a big quantity of food, like chicken wings and ribs and not big meal, then they have like more meat. But 10 minutes, that's all the human beings can handle that. So that's
yeah,
why they have
yeah.
a major league and had a 10-minute eating competition.
All right. In our remaining moments here, we're talking to Sonia Thomas on the phone. She is the Black Widow competing once again this year on the 4th of July's Nathan's International Hot Dog Eating Competition. You have some real strong competitors this year, including 3 nationally ranked women. As a result of your success, do you see a lot more women getting into the sport?
Yes, because you know why the women's getting more sports too? The Nathan's hot dog eating competition is separately in 2011. But separately, no, we have to separate division too. It's all kind of a sports and a separate division. Why? So they start up the separate division, then more women. Interesting about that. And then I say, okay, so we can competing. And two, before, they're kind of a shy, you know, like hiding. Because probably they're shy to eating, eating in the front of people, and you know maybe probably they're afraid, you know, to show them right.
Right,
but now
right.
They carry. But this is a sport, so a lot of women, you know, like the hiding woman is coming out. So that's why now it's like a top 3-4 women in the top major league eating top 10. You know?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, four of the top 10 in the Major League Eating rankings right now are women, and all 4 will be competing at your event on the 4th of July. Let me ask you one more question, Sonia, and that is, I am so constantly surprised when people ask you about practicing, and you say that you do not. So in other words, leading up to the competition, you will not see what you can do at home before you get in front of the big stage. Why not?
Because I told you earlier, too, Me, I don't know. I don't know either. Either they're competing on their practice or not. Me, I personally, I'm telling you, last time I ate hot dogs is July 4 last year.
That's unbelievable that you would go an entire year between competitions and not try it to see if you could come up with a better technique.
Because I've been doing it for 12 years nonstop. So I know how to eat.
Well, you know what you're doing. You are the three-time champion, 2011, 2012, 2013, as the women's champion of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and you're going to try it again on the 4th of July. We can see this on ESPN2. We can watch it live on ESPN3. Our fingers are crossed for you, Sonia. Good luck to you this year, okay?
Thank you so much.
It just got awesome with awesome sauce in here, ladies and gentlemen. During Lisa's traffic, Kat Dealey walked into the studio.
Good morning. Hello. How are you?
Good.
How are you this wide awake this early, Kat? You're unbelievable. You're a force of nature.
I don't know. I'm just high on life, I think.
I guess so. Kat, of course, the host of So You Think You Can Dance, which airs Wednesday nights at 8 on Fox, and the show Deadbeat with our friend Tyler Labine that is available, all 10 episodes on Hulu. So how are you? How you been?
I'm doing very good, actually. We're going to announce our top 20 tonight on Fox, so it's all very exciting. We've been all around the country.
It is very exciting.
We've found some amazing people. Again, every single year, I kind of turn around and go, there is no way that we're going to
I just can't believe this is the 11th season of So You Think You Can Dance
already.
I
feel like a dinosaur. I feel prehistoric. These kids come up to me and I go, so why do you want to be on the show? And they go, well, I've been watching the show since I was 8.
Oh, we have those experiences. We understand what you're saying.
I'm like, get out.
Yeah, don't even talk to me.
Darken my door again. And they kind of look at me really fearful, like, oh my goodness, that Kat Dealey isn't as nice as she's on the telly. I'm like, don't be stupid, you idiot. Just don't mention it again. Otherwise, you're really going to get my game.
So, Kat, here's what's fascinating to me. And I'm going to be honest. I think I've actually told you this before. I am not a person for whom dance moves me. You know how some people can really get into it? And like my wife loves your show and she cries at some of the dances. They're so beautiful. I don't know. For whatever reason, I don't have that connection with dancing, which is weird. You know, I feel like I should, like I do with music or with art or with something like that. I don't have that connection with dancing. But I'm so fascinated with your show because these people grow up wanting to be dancers, which... Why do you think they want to be dancers?
You know what? It's one of those, and this is a sweeping generalization, but as a breed, I really like dancers. And the reason I do is because you don't dance to become rich and famous. You don't do it. You're normally the backup guy. You're normally the team player. You're normally being injured. Your paycheck is in pennies, not in pounds.
You're going to age out of it, most likely.
You're going to age out. And all of those things. The only reason you do it is because you can't imagine your life not doing it.
That's what gets me on this show is exactly what you said, is these people, it's dance or die. They have to do it because the people who go on the singing competitions are in it because they want to be famous. I get the impression a lot of them. These people, the most successful dancers aren't famous, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I said to you, name me 10 famous singers, you could do it in a heartbeat. Yeah. If I said, name me 10 famous dancers, you could still do it.
Nope. But it would, but it would take the cuff and I'm out.
It would take you a second, you know? And I think that's the thing. I've seen kids dance on broken ankles and split feet. I mean, I compare it a little bit to Hunger Games. It's like dance to the death until you're left with just bleeding stumps for legs. Dance till the death.
The other thing that I love about the show is that it's every bit as athletic as many Olympic competitions. The things that these people, the training that they have and the things that they're able to do with their body are just astonishing sometimes. It's amazing, as long as dance has been around, that you can still put people on television who do moves that we've never seen before.
Oh, absolutely. And I think as the show has gone on, I think the bar has been raised every single year. So now you're absolutely right. They are like Olympians. They're like athletes. They're like, you know, trained footballers, but without the biting. No biting allowed.
So far.
I mean, seriously, did you see that?
Yeah,
yes. Now, are you? You're following the World Cup. You're a fan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously England.
Obviously,
are
England's out early.
I'm gonna be following the USA now. I mean, it was so close at the end the other day. It was so close.
It was unbelievable. It was heartbreaking.
It was.
By the way,
22 million people watched that soccer game.
I mean, it's insane, wow. Isn't it? It's absolutely. But you know what? I love it. I love it because it brings everybody together in whatever way, whether it's competitive or fun or ribbing people. It's like no matter where you're from in America or you've come to America from all these different countries or you're in an airport. I was flying back. And I'd been in London and I've been in Serbia. I've been working with UNICEF and I've been in London and I've been shooting stuff in London. And I came back and my husband and I were stood in the line and everybody was talking about Mexico playing and all. It's a real way of uniting people, I think.
It's which very exciting.
Yeah.
Who was your team growing up in England?
Growing up in England, it was West Bromwich Albion. But I mean, I don't see them anymore. And to be honest, what happened was I then got a job on Saturday, so I couldn't go to the match and I couldn't see them. So I've let it slip. But the World Cup, I just love.
Yeah. What are they going to do to Suarez, by the way, after that bite?
I don't know. They're talking about banning him. My husband was talking about it last night, and he was showing me the other footage as well of him biting.
Yeah, this is his third time.
Yeah, it's the third time. So I think, I don't know. I think they're talking about a 2-year ban.
Didn't a coach walk off too?
Did he? I don't know
about
that.
I thought I heard that this morning.
Well, and also the other thing is it kind of says maybe the ref should be allowed a playback, you know?
Yes.
They can't see everything, but...
Yeah, the whole thing with the refs in soccer is just a mystery.
It's
you
nuts.
Would think if something as important as this, you would want to have... Why not put a ton of refs like they do in football so that they can, you know, keep an eye on the whole field? I don't even understand it.
It is weird, and particularly because he was so shady about it as well.
Yes.
Like, He then fell over and pretended that it hurt his mouth. I'm like, what? Yes. On the other guy's shoulder? Was that
really?
Hey,
why did you put your shoulder in my mouth, man? That's not cool. One other note on this divergent topic here, Kat, and that is there was a bookie in Norway that was offering that as a prop bet. You could put money down on whether someone would bite another player in the game. And apparently a whole bunch of people put money down on that. And it was 175-1 odds. So you put down $5, you win almost $1,000.
Nice. Oh my,
did you do that?
I didn't. No, I wasn't that smart, but a lot of people did, which I just think is hilarious because I'm sure the people that offered the bet thought, oh, this is easy money. This isn't going to happen.
Absolutely.
People got rich off of it, which I think is amazing. All right, we have to take a very quick break. So You Think You Can Dance airs tonight at 8 on Fox. Now we're back in L.A. This would be shot here, right? The episode that we'll see tonight that gets us down to the top 20.
Absolutely. Yeah. We brought all the kids to L.A., and then they have to go through a week of super intensive choreography, and it's really, really tough. But I think we've found our great top 20.
Awesome. I think half of the reason the kids get so excited when they get the ticket to go to Hollywood is that they never have been to California, and they're so excited about going to California. I really do think that that's part of it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. It's like, and it's having an adventure, you know. And like I say, lots of these kids have been training for years and years and years and been watching the show for years and years. So I think they kind of have to pinch themselves a little bit and turn around and go, oh my goodness, it's happening to me, right?
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, that's tonight at 8 on Fox. More with Kat when we return right after this on Kip. Our friend Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And then good old Max Greenfield from The New Girl next hour. Did you meet Max in the other room, Kat Dealey?
Yes, we did. We were chatting about getting up early, actually. And normally he has to jump out of bed super early. As soon as his alarm clock goes, he can't have that like snooze back. Otherwise, he's with his wife and his dog and his daughter, and he can't get out of bed and he falls back asleep. But I can verify he is waiting there.
He is
there.
Here.
He
yeah.
is there, and he's waiting for you right now.
Everyone has that struggle in the morning, by the way. There's no one who enjoys getting up out of bed when it's the worst part of your whole day.
It kind of is, but I get quite excited. I'm like, oh, I get another day. This is fantastic.
That's a great attitude.
I'm kind of up and I'm out, and my husband makes me a coffee, and then I'm in the shower, and yeah, I actually don't mind getting up.
Wow.
It's those winter mornings when you have to get up really early and it's dark.
Yeah.
Those are tough.
Yeah,
those
and
are
it's
tough.
cold. But in the morning, in the summertime, I actually you feel as though you've kind of got one up on the world a little bit. It's like, come on, let's go.
So You Think You Can Dance airs Wednesday nights at 8 on Fox. That means tonight we find out who the top 20 is. Mm-hmm. The show has been nominated for 37 Emmys. You've been nominated multiple times as best host, but you haven't won. What's up with that?
I haven't won. I think I've been nominated, I don't know, twice or three. I'm not sure which one, twice mm-hmm. or three times. And it's kind of surreal. I mean, you've got to remember, I grew up in a very small town in England, and you kind of envisage what Hollywood is like, and you see these, you know, these amazing actors and actresses and hosts and going down the red carpet, and you just
and they're other people, they're not you, is what you
no.
think in your mind, right?
And I never thought in my wildest dreams I would ever come to America and have such an adventure and actually be there and do it. And so for me, it's so surreal to even be there, but brilliant. And I always kind of turn around and pinch myself and go, you must remember this. You must remember this. You must remember every bit of it. And just, you know, it's all those silly things where you'll bump into somebody or tread on someone's dress and you end up like meeting people who are just really cute and really funny that you've maybe admired for, you know, a long time. So it's good.
You really enjoy your life, Kat Dealey.
I do.
And you can't make her feel bad about not winning.
No,
I don't want her to feel bad.
What's up with that, Kat?
Well, I'm very upset by it because we talk about this on the show all the time. You're an awesome host. Bergeron is a great host.
Yes.
Probst is a great host. Yeah. That's about it. Everybody else is just so-so. But you three are all so great at what you do because it's so much harder to host those TV shows than it looks. And you make it look effortless and fun.
Well, we've talked about it before, actually, because there was a time when Jeff Probst won every single year.
Yes, I remember that.
Every single year. And Bergeron and I, and actually Seacrest as well, we're like, you know what? One of us just needs to create a disturbance one time.
That's right,
when they announce it, one of us will create a disturbance. And then it's every man for himself and whoever gets up there first gets it. And I'm
as
like,
long
but
as
I'm,
it's not him, right?
Yeah, I'm taking my heels off and I'm tucking my evening dress into my knickers and I'm running like hell, Bergeron. So don't even think you'll keep up.
All right, one more So You Think You Dance question. Then I want to talk about the awesome Deadbeat on Hulu. And that is, this year you have inflicted Justin Bieber on us, Kat. Now, why couldn't you find someone more popular like Donald Sterling to put on? I mean, what? Seriously, when you got that news, you couldn't have been happy about it.
You know what? It's kind of great, though, because what it does is it develops a new section of the show, which is the crew section, which is kind of, you know, we've seen a real... There's been a real increase in these crews that have been put together, and we didn't know how to include them in on the show. And this seems like a really good way of doing it. So basically, all the different crews perform, and then people can vote on Twitter. And then
But Justin Bieber is your spokesperson for that segment of the show. That's a terrible choice. he's terrible at it.
You don't have Bieber fever.
I'm sorry, not anymore. No, that expired about four arrests ago. You never have to be in the same room as him, though. He does all of his stuff separately, right?
No, yeah. He's done all of his stuff already with the choreographer that he uses all the time. So he's done all his stuff. And then we've got the...
So he can't hurt you that much, then?
I don't think so, no. Although there was one time, actually, on a red carpet at... I think it was something like the Teen Choice Awards, and his bodyguard almost took me out at one stage or another.
That's
like,
nudged me
out the way or something like that. I think so. I wasn't trying to get to him or please don't take me as some kind of crazy stalker that just wanted to go over there and sniff him or touch him. It was like, no, I just almost got taken out by his bodyguard. His bodyguards are huge, by the way.
Yes.
You don't want to get on the wrong side of him. You want to be careful what you say.
Well, because he's a tiny little girl. He's got to have huge bodyguards.
Well, and so he can mouth off and then they can protect him.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. All right, so you talked about how you're growing up in a small town in England. Mm-hmm. The last thing you expect is you're ever going to be on a Hollywood red carpet nominated for an Emmy. Did you plan on being an actress? Because you do quite a bit of that now, too.
Not really.
What did you plan, Kat Dealey?
I didn't plan a whole lot, actually. I knew when I was a little girl, I either wanted to be Julie Andrews or a Blue Peter presenter. And Julie Andrews has Julie Andrews covered. Darn her.
Gotcha.
So I kind of got into presenting and I started on MTV and then I started doing a show which was like a kids show that was a bit like Saturday Night Live but for kids. So we'd do sketches and then I carried on doing presenting and all that kind of stuff. And I love putting on a silly wig and a fake pair of bad teeth and having a really fun. I like it. I like taking the mickey out of myself. I really enjoy it. And so I did a couple of other comedy shows, one with Ricky Gervais, Life's Too Short, and I did the one with Don Cheadle as well, House of Lies.
Right.
And I did little bits in it, playing myself, and I just thought, oh, I really quite enjoy this. I had quite a nice time.
So now you have the acting bug a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not kind of Schindler's List or anything like that, but it's definitely more of a comedy type of
Spain that I like to do. But
you're great on this deadbeat. And, you know, I know we're in a new world now where it goes far beyond the channels on your TV. Now there's just as much compelling program online as there is on broadcast television anymore. And Hulu's bringing us a bunch of it. Obviously, Netflix, places like that, too. Mm-hmm. But this deadbeat show is so funny. And you've been picked up for a second season, too.
Yeah, no, it's really good. We shot kind of guerrilla style in New York. We had an amazing director, Troy Miller, who's done things like Dumb and Dumber. He's just a genius comedy director. And then we had great writers. And then, of course, I played opposite Tyler Labine, who is just, I was saying before, he plays this character which you shouldn't even like. Like he's just a loser. He's a dropout. He can't pay his rent. He doesn't exercise. He eats.
You're listening, Muggs? You hearing this?
How dare you?
Rude. And his best friend is his drug dealer. I mean, that kind of stuff.
That is like me, I guess.
But you can't help falling in love with him. And I think that's a sign of true genius. When someone can play a character like that and just still make you laugh 1 minute and fall in love with them. Yeah. I think it's
a fun series. It's super fun. And Kat, your character is hateable, but you pull it off in a likable way.
Yes. Good. Yeah, I'm an evil piece of evil voodoo with wasps for eyes is what I am. I'm just a meanie.
All right. You can see Deadbeat on Hulu. All 10 episodes are available now, so you can get your stream on. And then the new season is going to be coming out sometime later this year or early next year, something like that. The second season on Hulu as well for Deadbeat. Mm-hmm. So You Think You Can Dance tonight at 8 on Fox. We meet our top 20, and then you go live. I'm so glad you're going live next week. And you told me off air Snoop Dogg is going to be your guest judge next week, which is awesome.
Well, he's not guest judging. He's coming on to perform, which is always hilarious. Yeah. The smell down the corridor is always interesting when Snoop's in town.
I love it. You go live because I don't think there's enough Kat Deely on the audition shows because you're not on the stage. You know, you're backstage doing interviews and stuff like that. I feel like we get more of you when the show goes live.
Well, I like that very much. Thank you.
Wonderful to see you again, my dear.
Nice to see you too.
Thanks for coming in. This is the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Don't forget, Life is Beautiful Festival is coming up in Las Vegas in October. Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, Fits in the Tantrums, Kanye West, so much more. Get the information at KROQ.com and be qualified at 9:10. This morning. How about that Kat Deely, Ralph?
She is, speaking of life, she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's everything,
she's
right?
So she nice, too.
She's everything.
Sweet as pie, yeah.
Yeah, so much fun. All right, we'll catch up with our friend Robert Kirkman of The Walking Dead about his new comic coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Can we call him Captain Kirkman?
I mean, I guess we could.
We should, man.
He might hang up.
Fine, be that way. Stupid Robert Kirkman never liked you anyway. Hanging up on us. What's he thinking? All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. But before I do, I would like to go to a big-time Hollywood premiere. How many times you get a chance to do that in a lifetime?
That's pretty cool.
It is a very cool event. If you've never been to one, it really is an exciting thing to go to, especially if you're a movie fan. And this one will be especially exciting because it stars the lovely and talented Melissa McCarthy in the movie Tammy. Oh.
Yay!
Susan Sarandon, Dan Aykroyd. And others star in this hilarious comedy. It all happens June the 30th at the TCL Chinese Theater. The movie's in theaters everywhere on July the 2nd. But you, my friends, will get to go to the red carpet world premiere at the Chinese Theater. What better place to see a movie premiere than in the historic Chinese Theater? If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. 5 winners. We'll get a pair of passes to see the premiere of Tammy.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Nope. Doesn't work that way. They have to call right now and then they win, but we don't get back to them.
I see.
Tammy! Tammy!
Eli Wallach. What is kale? Is that fish?
No, it's a vegetable. Eli Wallach, legendary character actor, probably most notably starred as the ugly in the classic 60s Clint Eastwood Western, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. That sucks, man, to be known as the ugly for
it
the
sure
rest
does.
Of your career. You're not the good, you're not the bad, you're the ugly. Clint Eastwood's classic film, of course, has passed away at the age of 98. He also appeared in The Magnificent Seven, Godfather 3. Trust me, you know Eli Wallach. He was one of the founding members of the Actors Studio in New York City. The Method School of Acting has over 160 credits in movies and TV shows to his name. And, of course, most legendarily to me personally, he was Mr. Freeze on the old Batman TV series. Long time co-star of his wife, also Anne Jackson, who was also a very talented actress who passed away. So a good life lived by Eli Wallach. You really can't bitch about 98 years on this planet.
No, you can't.
In relatively good health with a career like that. So congratulations. Emily Ratajkowski's in the news. Remember her from Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines video?
Sure.
Before Robin Thicke got old pussy and started just crying about his ex-wife. Well, she's showing off her stuff once again. This time, the brunette graces the cover of GQ magazine wearing just a pair of black bikini bottoms and a white flower lei. I hope fall comes soon so those petals will be dropping. And she's just got glistening body oil all over, and it's a lovely cover.
Yeah.
She's a good deal.
She is lovely. So if you're a fan, you want to pick up the new GQ magazine. And she's on the cover. And sad news for Community fans. It looks like the supposed deal that was going to work out over at Hulu for a sixth season will not be happening. Looks like conversation between the producers and Hulu have broken down. Sony Pictures released a statement saying they remain determined to find a new home for Community. But it looks like not only are opportunities starting to dwindle, but the Starz contracts expire on Monday, June the 30th.
Just let it go.
So there is a bit of a deadline there, and we'll have to wait and see if they make something happen or not. Just want to let it go, Bean? Is that what you're saying? Or is that just Kevin's
That's
point?
Not me. That was just Kevin. Yeah. I love Community.
I know you do.
And I would love to see more of it. I mean, fans have wanted six seasons in a movie all along, and we're falling a little bit short now.
And George Lucas has finally made his decision regarding his Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, also known as the Star Wars Museum. The museum is going to be a $1 billion art collection that George has, as well as memorabilia from all of his movies, and posters and props from Star Wars and other films. There had been some debate about where he was going to put it. There were several locations he was looking at, Chicago, here in Los Angeles, and several others. He announced yesterday that Chicago would be the home of the museum. So, F you, California, pretty much is what George Lucas.
And isn't that...
George Lucas raped our childhood.
Yeah.
George Lucas raped our childhood.
Yeah.
George Lucas raped our childhood.
Yeah.
I was such a surprise to see Chicago, unless it, it just had something to do with the, money, some sort of tax benefits or something like that to be in Illinois, because it sure doesn't make any sense. George Lucas, California native.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, even more in the Bay Area. You would think that he would want it there. But, boy, what a great idea, Star Wars Museum. Wouldn't people come from all over the world if they could walk into a room and see the Millennium Falcon and whatnot?
Sure. If you want to see an original lightsaber or something, it'd be
a never-ending
stream of tourists going through that place. That's why all those cities were really campaigning hard to nab that deal. But it looks like Chicago's the big winner. So, chalk one up for the Windy City. Chicago 1, Los Angeles 0.
Hmm.
Except when it comes to the playoffs this year.
Good point.
Kings. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Busy Phillips is 35 years old today. Actress Linda Cardellini turns 39. They, of course, were co-stars on the old Freaks and Geeks TV show. Boy, I love that show. Angela Kinsey from The Office is 43. Speaking of The Office, the creator of that program in the UK who brought it to the States. Ricky Gervais is 53 years old today. Carly Simon turns 69. And singer George Michael is 51. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm just saying, I don't see as much Robert Kirkman on the telephone as I expected to at this time in the show.
Which is some of him? Is that what you expected? I don't know. Just any little bit of him?
A little bit. Whatever part has fallen off of his body that could still use a phone. Hey, producer Dave, the King of Mexico, ETA and Mr. Kirkman, please.
No word.
What would you like your fearless host to do here?
As the producer of the show.
As the producer of the show.
Thinking ahead 10 steps.
Let me work on getting the gas meeting.
How would you advise us to proceed here? Would you like to send in Mr. Greenfield? Is that a possibility? Should we do that? Or do you want us to play another song? Or you advise, please?
Let's talk about the World Cup.
Dave, I'm not going to have a conversation with you over the speakerphone. We've got to put something on the radio. We're doing a live show here on K-Rock.
Dave?
Yeah, the publicist is calling him now.
Okay.
So, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm good, and that World Cup sure is cool.
That's something else. A lot of people running around playing kickball.
Yeah, and then there's that biting guy, and then
yeah. All this. Right, he's got Mr. Kirkman's person on the phone here. Well, but if he's got the person, then it's going to be a whole other thing to get the guy. This
well,
is what
let's
I love.
Just talk to the person.
Give me a minute or two.
A minute or two.
Oh yes.
All right. Why don't we let's fire up another big hit, shall we, Muggs? And then
let's
we'll come
it.
Back and reevaluate here on the world famous K-Rock. Sorry about that, kids. So, Dave, if I go to this phone now, Mr. Kirkman's going to be on the other end. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
Yep. When The Walking Dead goes away for the summer, the rest of us just go on with our lives. But poor Mr. Kirkman is in a basement just writing that and writing all of the other fine family of Image comics, one of which is unleashed on the world today that we are very excited about. It is called Outcast. Please welcome our friend Robert Kirkman back to the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Kirkman.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Kevin, unfortunately, not with us today. He is down in Brazil for the World Cup. But
I made it clear that I do not do this without Kevin. I apologize that message wasn't relayed.
Yeah, I know. It was in the writer that we got ahead of your appearance. I'm sorry about that as well.
We're not going to make any jokes about killing Carl? Is that how
nope, killing Carl is off the table this time. You're actually safe for once. I can't imagine what your life is like. Is it possible sometimes, sir, that you take on more work than any human should?
You sound like everyone who talks to me.
Well, I mean, I follow you on Twitter, and it seems like every 2 days there's, hey, Walking Dead 128 is out, and then, Invincible 112 is out, and hey, my new book is coming out Wednesday. I mean, it just seems like you're just generating stuff, you're writing stuff faster than the rest of us can read it, and I just don't know how it's possible.
Robots. Lots of robots. I don't know. I love what I do, and I enjoy spending time doing what I'm doing, and I don't know, maybe I write fast. I have no idea.
Well, let's talk about Outcast, because a lot of people may your fans obviously know about it, but a lot of people in the outside world have not heard about Outcast yet, and it sounds like a fascinating topic. Please explain.
Well, Outcast is it's a story of Kyle Barnes, and he's a normal, everyday, average guy who just happens to have been dealing with, the phenomenon of demonic possession his entire life. And when our story picks up, he's decided that he's not going to take it anymore, and he sets out to kind of find out exactly what's going on and how he can stop it.
And what's the research process like for you as a creator when you start getting into demonic possession? Because it seems to me like this is one of those things like tackling vampires or even zombies, where there have been so many interpretations over the past that, there are lots of different directions you can go with it, or you can kind of create your own kind of demonic possession.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of fun stuff, but I think the coolest thing about this project is the fact that, as cool as The Walking Dead is, zombies aren't real. But, there is actual, pretty good evidence out there that this phenomenon may actually be taking place. And so when it comes to doing research and stuff, it's actually researching actual cases and, people that have kind of dealt with this kind of thing and figuring out what it is that's going on. And, that's a lot more fun than say, just watching some movies or reading some books and imagining what it would be like if dead people came back to life.
Have you seen some cases that that chilled you, Robert, that you just were like, my God, a human being lived through this?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff out there. I mean, I don't want to go into any particular details, but, just because it is very unsettling, not for radio kind of stuff. But, it's a pretty terrifying subject matter, and I'm hoping that I can do it justice.
Do you believe that it's the work of the devil, these demonic possessions, or are these people having some sort of, mental breakdowns when they think these things are happening to them?
Well, that's really the question behind it all, and that's certainly something that I'm going to be dealing with in the book, and it is kind of fascinating. I mean, there is a large number of people that do believe that it is the work of the devil, quote unquote, but it's entirely possible that there's something more going on, something much larger, something possibly more dangerous, which is something that we're trying to deal with in the comic.
When you how much of a skeleton do you have on a new book when you start? Like issue number one, Outcast is out today. In your mind, you've already planned it out how far, even possibly to the end?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely mapped this one out in pretty big detail. And, the end may not come for, 100 or 200 issues or so, but I actually know, how this story completes and how this story wraps up, which, I will say is somewhat unusual. I mean, I had a pretty big roadmap for The Walking Dead, but I didn't really know how it ended until somewhat recently, I'll reveal. But yeah, I mean, it takes a while sometimes to figure these things out. But Outcast kind of came out almost fully formed.
And Outkast is one that has already been optioned for television. Does that and I know from speaking to you in the past, that doesn't change at all how you write the comic. You're able to keep those two things kind of separate in your head, what can be done on the screen versus what can be done on the page, right?
Yeah, I do my best to ignore that part of things when I'm working on the comics. But, you know, it has been kind of cool developing it, you know, with Fox International as a television show, you know, alongside developing it as a comic book series. And, you know, we're working with Cinemax on this one, too. So, you know, there's going to be, it's going to be a cool show if it comes together.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Outkast is out today from Image Comics. It's 44 pages for just $2.99. I hate to think about how little you're making per hour if you're selling it that cheap.
That doesn't concern me.
That's terrifying when you stop and think about it. That's awfully cheap. That's a lot of pages for under $3.
Yeah, I mean, these days a lot of people are charging $3.99 for half as much comics. So, I'm trying to get people in on the ground floor, give them a lot of story, and make it a little easier of a purchase.
Well, it sounds great. And if you can't make it to your nearby comic store, you can get the new comic online at imagecomics.com. That is available there as well. So will we see you down at Comic-Con? You got some plans for next month, Robert?
I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't say
fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it, but I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, I understand. Comic-Con experience for you is a little different than for most of us since you are the king of the world down there. But we'll look forward to catching up with you. We're very excited to read Outkast. It's available everywhere in comic book stores and online at imagecomics.com today. It sounds fascinating. As always, sir, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
That was great talking to you.
Stop by Subway and get a big combo for a small price. That's any regular 6-inch sub, a 21-ounce streak, and a cup of today's soup for just $6.25. Subway, eat fresh and add a dollar for premiums and supremes, limited time only, no side substitution, additional charge for extras plus tax. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
I think half the time Lisa has no idea what she's saying in those commercials.
I totally
anyone else get
do.
That impression?
You get a sandwich, and then there's soup, and but no extras, but a dollar for the premium. What are you talking about?
Hey, look who it is. It's the other white guy from TV's The New Girl, Max Greenfield, joins us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Max.
What an introduction.
What's going on, man? How's the first week of summer for you, 2014?
Not bad so far. Not bad.
I love Max. He shows up this morning at like 6:30. He comes in and he's bright-eyed and he's bushy-tailed and he's like, "Guys, I'm early, but I got so much to do. I'm going to take advantage of this extra time before I go, and I'm going to get a lot of work done." 8 minutes later, we walk by sound asleep on the couch in the office.
That couch is comfortable, man.
So much for getting all that work done. So you're off. You're on the hiatus from The New Girl right now.
Yes. We've been off for a few months now. We're off for one more month, and then we go back in August.
But you sure took advantage of the time off you had to go out and make a lot of movies.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, there's two that are coming out simultaneously. About
so
Alex.
So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. About Alex comes out August 8th, and we shot that last summer. And then two summers ago, we shot a movie called They Came Together, directed by David Wayne and written by Michael Showalter, which comes out this Friday.
Okay, now let's I don't understand. I don't understand anything about show business. Why do you shoot a movie two years ago? And it's not like this is a big, sci-fi movie that they had to do a lot of, you know, green screen and special effects and CGI on. Why does it sit around for 2 years?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
No one would tell you?
I just show up as the actor, and I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm excited to be here." And then they're like, "Hey, so we think this movie's going to come out in 2015. And you're like, "Why?
Are you kidding me?
Why is that happening?"
But no one's hotter than Amy Poehler. I mean, she's America's sweetheart. No one's more beloved than Amy Poehler, who co-stars in this movie with America's other sweetheart, Paul Rudd. I would just think that they would look at this and go, "Oh, my God, we got gold in the vaults. We got to get this thing out to market."
No, I know. I mean, like, just... I don't know how else to describe it, but things happen and there's like business decisions being made and it's all sorts of like hectic maneuvering and you're like, "Oh, okay. I don't understand any of this," but then all of a sudden it comes out and look, it makes it all that much more exciting when it does come out.
Absolutely. Now this film is called They Came Together and you mentioned David Wayne. He wrote it with Michael Showalter. They're the guys who did Wet Hot American Summer, which was a great movie that was kind of a spoof of those kind of camp movies. And this is... I think I saw this movie last night, Max, and I loved it. But I think it might kill the romantic comedy. You know what I mean? Like, you can never do any of the things that romantic comedies do again now that it's kind of – and I don't even want to say it's been parodied. How would you explain what this movie does to romantic comedies?
Well, it's interesting. Like, I don't think that it's an anti-romantic comedy, and I think we're poking fun at it. But it's I felt like when we were making it, and I feel like everybody involved in it, it was – we thought of it as kind of an ode to romantic comedies. I mean, we all love them so much. And, you know, we did a bunch of – it premiered at Sundance, and we had done a bunch of press afterwards, and we were kind of talking about all the romantic comedies that we loved. And there were so many of them, and they genuinely influence everything that we do outside of this movie, so that when it came down to making this film, it was just – it was fun to kind of poke fun at some of the tones and themes that you usually see in those types of movies.
Yeah, I mean, you can't think of anything that you've ever seen in a romantic movie. They figured out a way to put in this film. I mean, even up to, you know, I mean, you name it, it's in the film. I mean, it's just crazy, and that's got to be such a fine line to walk as a writer and as an actor to pay tribute to it, but not make it look rote. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think Paul and Amy do such an unbelievable job in the film of kind of like holding that down and really leading the tone. And I think everybody else in it, you know, myself and, you know, Jason Mantzoukas and, like, the insane cast that is around them kind of, like, just played off of them and added to what what ended up being one of the craziest films I've ever been a part of.
Kobe Smulders has never been hotter in a movie, by
so
the way.
Great. So
tremendous.
Great.
Michael Ian Black, hilarious. Ed Helms is in this film. Ellie Kemper is in this movie.
Wow.
Bill Hader, Kenan Thompson, Ken Marino. I mean, you know, everyone we love, Lisa, is all in one movie. And you and Paul Rudd play brothers in the film.
Yes.
And I know you guys are both big improvers. Tell me what those scenes were like shooting with Paul.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, this movie, because it was independent, we didn't have much time. Improv was not something that we went to quickly on this, and it was written so specifically by Michael Showalter, and the tone was so specific that it didn't leave us much time to improv. And, like, it was my first time with these guys. They had worked together for so long and have been friends for so long, and I was nervous coming in, and I was not about to start improvising on set. And having met Michael and gone over the script and seeing – like, kind of looking at what we had and how good it was, I felt no need to improv. I don't think there's a single line of mine that's in the movie that's improv.
Wow, that's a real credit to the script then, because
yeah.
I mean, it looks so natural, and there's so many, like, really complicated comedy scenes back and forth between you guys. That's amazing.
I think Amy and Paul maybe had opened it up on a few scenes, but other than that, I think everybody was pretty right on the script, not even close to it.
I don't want to say out loud what your Halloween costume is in the movie, because I want people to enjoy it when they see the film on Friday.
It's pretty special.
It's pretty special, right?
Yeah.
Now, did you tell me off the air that this is a script that David Wayne has had for a long time?
Yeah, it was cool. They had had this right after Wet Hot American Summer, and they were supposed to make it, and then it kind of fell apart because when Wet Hot came out, it didn't do very well at all. And then it just sat around forever. And I think a few years ago at Sketchfest in San Francisco, they did a reading of it. And maybe Paul and Amy were there. I'm not really sure. But the reading went so well that Lionsgate came in and was like, well, let's make this movie.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. It's so fun, you guys. It's called They Came Together. It's in theaters and also available on iTunes this Friday, June 27th. As we mentioned, a great, great cast, a hilarious script, and Mac Greenfield, very, very funny in it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about your other movie this summer, about Alex. Talk about The New Girl. Talk about what else is up with you after this on the world-famous K-Rock. World famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ for a Wednesday morning. Our friend Adam Carolla joins us just after 9 o'clock. Our other friend, Max Greenfield, in studio with us right now. He is TV's Schmidt from The New Girl and the star of, well, one of the stars of two terrific movies out this summer. They Came Together, opening up everywhere this Friday, and About Alex on August the 8th. Hey, Max, you're doing some World Cup tweeting, I notice.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your team?
The USA.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was what a game.
What a game indeed.
It was like, we got it. What?
Yeah.
It was just so heartbreaking, and that's the thing about sports is that it's always possible that something like that could happen. But, I mean, if ever a game was away and safe and a win and you're on to the next round and you can don't have to sweat it anymore, it was that game. And then, boom, 30 seconds to go. It just – that hurt deeply, didn't it?
It was so unbelievable. You just thought, we got this, we got this, we got this. Just let the clock run out. And then there goes Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And his with magical stupid leg.
And his stupid haircut.
Yeah. The hair, although there's like debates on the haircut on
Yes,
Twitter
I want your
right
opinion
now.
On – tell people what the theory is on the haircut, and I want to know if you buy it or not. Because I'm not sure I do, but that could just be because I have a bias against him.
Well, then – well, this plays to a much bigger topic, which is the internet's confusing.
Yes, it is. Hey, if it's on the internet, it has to be true though, right?
Because I had tweeted when I saw the hair. I tuned in maybe about 20 minutes into the game, and I was like, here we go. And I'm looking at these guys, and, you know, it looks like a giant to exist campaign. And I'm like, these international hunks are running around the field, and I'm looking at Ronaldo's haircut, and I think, you know what? This haircut's awfully confident. And I thought I was a little too confident, and I tweeted that out, and then later on somebody sent something to me that was like, hey man, his haircut is fashioned in the same way that I suppose a child's brain surgery that he had paid for, and that's like,
yeah,
it was similar to the scar.
Yeah,
and
that was the story.
Yeah, and I thought, I genuinely feel bad, and I don't feel like his haircut is confident anymore. And I feel like it's beautiful, and I want to acknowledge that.
But so, I don't so know I, that that story
so
is real.
So we don't
real.
Even know if it's
but
real.
I will, that, I will
that
say
that story
this.
Is part of the myth, I think.
It is,
I don't think it's real.
Apparently it is confirmed, though, that he paid for this child's brain surgery. That is,
oh, okay.
I believe that's confirmed. So guess what? He can cut his hair any way he wants.
Yeah, I guess he gets the point. But isn't he – he's like the Alex Rodriguez of soccer players, though, in that he's super like vain and unpopular. And even, you know, even people who love his club –
Is that true, though? I don't know enough about soccer to know that that's true.
Well, he built a museum in his hometown to him with a life-size replica statue of him in the museum. He did do that. He did build his own museum.
Well, I don't know. I don't follow baseball that much either. But
yeah.
As far as I know, Alex Rodriguez doesn't contribute that much.
No, and
Ronaldo
at
least
drama, that's
is
for sure. At least Ronaldo shows up for the games and
Ronaldo's
well.
Kicking like magical rainbow kicks that end up headers to tie the game, and you're like, oh man, this guy's amazing.
So tomorrow, when the U.S. plays Germany, and this is the one they now need a win or a draw, and except for a complicated goal differential, you know, that can still put them through to the Sweet 16, as they don't call it. Will you watch that game from the beginning, or will you tune in again 20 minutes from the end, Max?
Well, you know, the 20 minutes was not my fault. I was coming home from a pool situation with my daughter. We don't have a pool, so we pool hop every weekend. She's got to get in that pool. Got to get in that pool.
If we see a guy jumping over a fence with a little girl anywhere in town, it might be you.
That's me. I think it starts at 9 a.m. Out here in L.A., so I think I definitely will be tuning in
that
one. But you hope that just kind of like Germany and USA look at each other, kind of nod and go, hey, man. Let's just not score any goals today.
Yeah, a draw is a draw. We're both through. Let's just – why sweat it, right?
Yeah, like, hey guys, we're all good. We're in. right now we're in. Let's just keep it this way.
Yeah.
In our remaining time, Max, and thank you again so much for coming in. It's always great to catch up with you. We talked about They Came Together, which is in theaters everywhere on Friday. Later in the summer, August 8th, a new film called About Alex, which – like the first film we talked about, has another unbelievable cast. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, it's a really good – Jesse Zwick directed this. It was a great script. And then he put together this phenomenal cast. And we went – it was like – it's Aubrey Plaza and Jason Ritter, Max Minghella, Jane Levy, Nate Parker, Maggie Grace. And, you know, we all went out into the woods and shot a tonally much different film than They Came Together. And it was great. It was a great experience, and I've seen the movie. It's really wonderful. The trailer is out now on iTunes and YouTube. You should check it out.
It looks like everyone makes out with everyone else during the course of the film.
Yeah, it's a real it's the Big Chill if Kevin Costner does not die.
Yes. Oh, it's that's like, great. That's a great way to describe it. Because that's what brings everybody together, right, is one of the friends has a suicide attempt.
Yeah. Jason Ritter's character, Alex, has an attempt suicide, and his friends from college who kind of have not seen each other in a while and have kept in contact through like Facebook and Instagram kind of come back together and now are forced to kind of deal with their issues and kind of come to grips with what's happened.
You're such an unusual actor, Max, in that
you're
attracted to films that have actual scripts where the words matter.
Well, what an interesting concept.
I mean, think about most of the movies that people go see. I mean, you're not doing Transformers is what I'm saying. I mean, you really drawn
I'm pretty
to
sure
scripts.
There was a script to Transformers.
Really? But it was one page, though, right?
And I will say this. No one's offering me Transformers either.
Oh, that's what it is.
Because there might be a different story. I'd love to come in here at some point and be like, man, what an experience it was working with those robotics.
So Max Greenfield, indie movie star until the tent poles of summer start calling.
Right.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm waiting for Michael Bay to call me.
Okay. All right. We got to go. We're out of time. You can go back to sleep or the pool or wherever you're going. But real quick, you don't know anything about season 4 of New Girl yet. You probably haven't seen a script yet, right?
No, I don't know anything. But I know I talked to Liz Merriweather, who created the show recently, and she's working hard and scripts are coming in and we're getting ready to go.
I'm so happy for you guys. I mean, I know how hard – I mean, a guy like you who's been around Hollywood for a while has been involved with lots of things and you never know what's going to catch on. And it just must feel like just such a blessing as an actor to walk into a room with those people and those scripts and have it be received as well as it has been.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. Like, it's just a great group and, you know, you feel like you're working on something good and it's nice for it to be received that way.
Yeah, it's so, so good. All right, that's coming back in the fall. Go see all of Max's movies this summer. They Came Together Friday, and then About Alex on Friday, August 8th. And look for him in the next Transformers movie in 2016. Yeah. Thanks, Max. Good to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks, man.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
That's right. Excellent advice, Homer.
Damn it, Lisa.
Hey, it's Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us in studio for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on Half Christmas 2014.
Would you with that, please?
I'm just saying.
It's not a thing.
It's a holiday. Enjoy.
It's June 25th. It's not a holiday.
Be happy. 6 months from, 6 months till. It's a big day. Christmas is too awesome to only be once a year.
In 6 months, I'll celebrate Christmas.
But today you can celebrate half Christmas.
Then it's nothing to do. There's no celebration to have.
Yeah, what do you do for the half?
You put up half a tree? Do you open up half a present? Do you have half a fruitcake?
It's another Christmas. It's a bonus Christmas.
It's not another Christmas, though. That's the thing.
It is, though. It's just another Christmas, except it's in June.
What do you do? What do you do to celebrate it?
Well, you know me. I'm Christmas all the time, so I'm really the wrong guy. But I think other people, yeah, they put up a little tree. They have some music. They have, of course, you can't buy eggnog this time of year, but, you know, like Christmas cookies. I mean, I think they do all this stuff. I think it's getting bigger every year, Ralph.
Listeners, if you put up a tree, if you eat some Christmas cookies, if you listen to Christmas music on today, June the 25th, please call in. 1-800-520-1067.
You don't think there's anyone out there celebrating Christmas?
Well, I'm going to go to the Showbiz Beat. We'll see if anybody calls in.
All right.
And if they are, then we'll have a conversation about it.
I bet we've got some celebrators. But I really
do. Other than that, you go right to hell.
Well, you're a Grinch is what you are.
I'm not a Grinch. I'm just a person who has a calendar, who knows when Christmas is.
I have a calendar, too, and I looked at the calendar this morning when I woke up and I thought, hey, ho, 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 it's half Christmas.
Will you stop it with that?
All right, while the phones are ringing, and I'm sure they are, what do you got going on?
It used to be you had to win an Oscar to take one home.
Yeah.
So I figured I was never going to be the owner of an Oscar. However, now I know, forget that. All it takes is a little green, a little cashish.
Is this a scandal you're uncovering?
No, not at all. There was an auction this week where one lucky bidder took home an Oscar. The Oscar that was won by Joseph C. Wright in 1942 for Best Art Direction
went on the block this week, and a lucky bidder went home with it for just $80,000.
I thought it was against the rules to sell Oscars. Like you're supposed to give them back to the Academy or something.
Here's what you don't know. In 1950, the Academy required all the winners to sign a contract saying if they or their heirs wish to sell their Oscar, they first must give the Academy a chance to buy it back for the sum total of $1.
Oh.
That's the deal. If you want to sell your Oscar, you got to sell it to the Academy, and they will pay you only $1 for it. All right. 1950, that started. This Oscar comes from 1942.
Oh, wow.
So any Oscar statuettes won before the year 1950 are free game. So you can
put that
up for auction, and you can be the winner like this person was. The lucky winner was an anonymous phone bidder from California who won the auction.
Yep.
So there's a ton of money for the people out there, especially who have the Oscars for the famous actors in the big movies. If you've got a Wizard of Oz Oscar or a Citizen Kane or something like that, then that's worth a ton of dough.
Right.
You can sell it legally.
This was Joseph C. Wright's Oscar for Best Art Direction in 1942, and that went for $80,000.
That's unbelievable,
imagine
by the way.
Imagine if you're somebody who did something. Not that art direction isn't something. Trust me, I know it is, but I'm just saying it doesn't really have the cachet that... You know.
Yeah, it's not Jimmy Stewart or Henry Fonda or somebody. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Right, so. But you can buy an Oscar, man. If it's pre-1950, you can buy an Oscar. I want one.
Now, does it mean anything to you if it's in your house, if it's just something you bought as a prop? It's not,
not
something you
earned. Mine. Okay. Right. I get to hold it, and I can give a speech, and I can thank people. It's mine.
Do you feel that way about, like, would you buy a Super Bowl ring?
Mine!
Okay.
Mine.
You tell me when you want to go to the phones, because we got a lot of them with people celebrating half Christmas.
Up
to you.
Bring these efforts on, because I'm just in the mood. I will slap them down.
Let's talk to Jay first.
Let's talk to Jay.
He's in L.A. He's on line one. He is celebrating the holiday today. Happy half Christmas to you, Jay. Welcome to the show.
Happy half Christmas. What's up? Lisa May.
What's up?
Man, the guy that doesn't like Christmas.
I love Christmas. You know when Christmas is? December the 25th, you freak.
So how do you celebrate the holiday? What do you do?
I watch the Christmas story.
There you go, Ralph. That's one way that somebody could celebrate.
I didn't realize that you could watch television and call that celebrating. Congratulations.
Well, it is celebrating if you're watching a Christmas movie because it's half Christmas. That's a celebration.
Yes, exactly. If you acknowledge the day, then it's half Christmas.
All right, Jay. Thank you so much for the call.
You're a sad and lonely man, Jay.
Jay's doing the right thing. One day you'll be on board too, Ralph. Sheila is up next. She's from West Hill. She's on line four, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. Yeah, so we have a half Christmas. We have our attic is full of mainly Christmas and Halloween, but we have a little section that has a tree that comes down just for like a week or so.
Uh-huh.
We put it up and decorate it with our little smaller, ornaments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
And by we, you mean you and your cats, right, Sheila?
No, me and my kids.
Yeah, your kids must love it.
They do. How could look, if you're a kid and you get a bonus Christmas in the summer, of course you love it.
Do you get presents?
Yeah, I don't go nuts.
Oh, okay. You're too late. You're already nuts.
Sheila, you're doing the right thing, my dear. Thanks so much for calling.
Hang up on Sheila.
Patty, Monterey Park, up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Patty. Welcome to the show. Happy half Christmas.
Happy half Christmas. Popo's out, people. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
And to you as well.
Hey. We make cupcakes with the leftover sprinkles from Christmas. I do it for my kids, not for my cat.
Wow, that sounds delicious. 6-month-old sprinkles on some cupcakes. You really know how to chime in the season.
Ralph, first you were arguing that no one celebrates half Christmas.
Well, this
now
is
you're
barely
complaining
celebrating.
About the, now
a
you're
guy watching
about the
a movie and a woman making old cupcakes. That's
people
your celebration.
Are doing Christmassy things.
That's your celebration.
It's recycling, people. It's recycling.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Omar. He's in Anaheim. He's on line 8. He's up next. Hi, Omar. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hi there. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi there. Tonight, give you guys a heads up. Tonight at Angel Stadium will be the biggest half Christmas celebration the world knows. They're going to be handing out Christmas Santa Claus hats, and the entire stadium is decorated in complete Christmas couture.
Yeah!
Well, there you go.
How about that, Ralph?
Baseball and half Christmas. Two things that suck sucking together.
It sounds like an awesome party. It sounds like the place to be for your half Christmas celebration is tonight at Angel Stadium. That's awesome.
I hope the Angels lose.
That's right.
I hope they lose.
Wow. Omar, happy half Christmas to you, my friend. Thank you so much for calling. And we'll have to leave it there, Ralph. But I think you know we got other calls we could go to. There are a lot of people out there celebrating. Just get on board.
Those people have deep, deep, deep problems.
And so does someone who can no longer find joy in life.
Because I don't celebrate a mythical, made-up, fictional holiday, I can't find joy in life?
That's correct.
Just wait till Bean Death Day. Wait till you see how I celebrate that day. What do you see?
Get out the hats,
I'll chop it up trees. I'll decorate Angel Stadium on that day. Oh, you wait till you see the party I throw. You want to see joy in life.
How you're going to be decorating it either.
Man, yeah, I'll decorate.
Come on.
I'm decorating your grave.
Oh, God. Finally makes the grave visit.
Yeah, I'm finally going to visit my first grave.
It's going to be mine to leave a token.
I'm going
to
be flocking your
all right.
Your tombstone. I'm just saying, that's how they celebrate on Christmas, right? Don't you flock a tree?
Understood. Let's move on.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Busy Phillips and Linda Cardellini, co-stars from Freaks and Geeks, both celebrating a birthday today. Angela Kinsey from The Office celebrates her birthday, along with the creator of The Office, Ricky Gervais, and singers Carly Simon and George Michael also celebrated birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Wednesday mornings on The Kevin and Bean Show means we catch up with our old friend Adam Carolla. You can see Adam live on Saturday, July 19th. He's doing a live podcast at the Gas Lamp Restaurant and Bar in Long Beach. The first show at 7:30 is sold out. The 10 o'clock show still has some seats available if you want to go to adamcarolla.com. And, of course, the Mangria Tasting Party at the Treasure Island at the end of August. And don't forget, Adam's new book is called President Me, The America That's In My Head. You can order from the website as well. Ace Man, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, man.
Hey, before we get into This Week in Rage, I wanted to ask, I haven't caught up with this week's podcast, but did you do a show recently where Nils Lofgren was in the audience?
Yeah, from the E Street Band, fresh off of...
So he wasn't booked as a guest or anything, he just happened to be there at the place. He came to see you, in other words.
He lives in Phoenix. He's a fan of comedy. He likes the genre, as Fred Willard once said in Spinal Tap.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't like Spinal Tap, but he likes the genre of rock and roll. And he and his wife are super nice, and they're friends with me and my wife, and whenever we go, well, you know, my wife's a super, you know, a Bruce Springs super fan.
Right,
so
right.
Any, you know, if you're in the E Street Band, that ain't too shabby. And so he comes out to the shows whenever I do a show in Phoenix. He and his wife come, and they come backstage, and they're super sweet.
That's awesome. Did you drag him up and put him on the podcast? Like, did you interview him on the show then?
It's a big club, maybe 550 seats as far as clubs go. He was sitting pretty far back, but we brought him a microphone, and we had some fun with him. I have this sort of running joke that my wife is such a insane E Street Band and Bruce Springsteen fan that I always ask him if he could get the boss to start his songs, you know, instead of with the, you know, the factory closed down, there's a lot of hardworking folk out of, and this one's going out to them, 2, 3. I want him to be a little more specific, like, you know, when your man leases you an Audi A7 and... he wouldn't mind a little pot roast waiting for him when he came home from his podcast. 2, 3, 4.
Get the word to Lynette through Bruce Springsteen. That's the only one she's listening to.
I think it would be super effective. And I think Bruce, for the right price, you know, could modify those things.
I like it. That's awesome.
Get the message out there.
I love it. All right, I'm going to definitely check out that podcast at adamcarolla.com. Same place to go for the book and all the live events. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with 3 and moving our way up to number 1. I actually went out of town with James Kimmel a couple of weeks ago, and we're coming through LAX. And we're talking about Tracy Morgan. And I said, I heard he was getting better. And he said, no, there's a bunch of false reports out there. This is a few weeks ago, and he wasn't. And then somebody took some footage, from his last hospital stay and put it out on the internet. And I said, what the hell? And he said, yeah, people will just try to make a buck doing anything. They're just trying to get some click-throughs. And I said, what's wrong with people that you would take, you know, you would sneak in and take footage of a guy who was sick and then put it, you know, I mean, horribly injured and put it up on the internet.
Yeah.
And I just thought, we've lost our humanity. And then as we're walking out to the car, I just stopped and I said, you know what we're missing? We've forgotten about hell. We used to have hell. When I grew up, it was heaven and hell. If you did something good, you went to heaven. If you did something bad, you went to hell. Now, we just have heaven. I feel like people still believe in heaven, but we've dismissed hell. We've gotten rid of the notion of hell. And I'd like to bring hell back.
I think you're right. I think we believe we live in a consequence-free world now where we can do whatever we want, no matter what the impact it has on the world.
It's really weird. Like, as a kid, and I didn't even grow up in a religious environment, it was just, you don't want to go to hell, do you?
Right.
No. Okay, well, then don't put that footage of Tracy Morgan on your website, in which case the answer was, who's Tracy Morgan and what's a website? But either way, you know what I mean? I really do think that hell is now considered bullying, and that's why we've gotten rid of it.
I think you could be right, Adam.
I'm just saying, people... bring it back, believe in it, and I'll see you there. All right. The other thing I was, it fell out of my mouth when I was up on stage at Phoenix is I was thinking, I always think about the things that I did as a kid that brought me so much joy that my kids don't give two shakes of a rat's ass tail about. I'm looking out my window right now at, It's an air hockey game that's being used as a table to set junk on because they used it once on December 26th and never used it again because they're so jaded. And I started thinking about the ant farm, Bean. Could you imagine? I knew kids who had an ant farm. It was a big deal. I would go
Absolutely.
To their house just to stare at ants.
Yep, you're right.
Two pieces of lucite, a half inch apart, and you just sit there all day on your ass going, look, they're making a trail. First off, what do you expect ants to do? It looks exactly like what you would think an ant would act if you weren't outside, but you still look, you can see right here where they come down, and then this is where they store their stuff. It's like... my kid would never stop beating me over the head with it. I decided if I gave him an ant farm, he'd probably drug me, throw me on my belly, take a Lincoln log, put it where the sun didn't shine, and just beat it into me.
I think you could take a look at most of the toys that you had growing up, and your kids would throw them immediately in the trash. Believe me, they're not going to be excited about an Etch-A-Sketch or a Slinky or anything else that was fine for you, Adam.
Ant farm. And by the way, hey, finally an excuse to bring ants into the house. Number one, I heard some rules being made about players and the World Cup wearing the headphones out on the field, and then I started realizing, yeah, like 10 minutes ago, every professional NBA player and NFLer and all the soccer players, they're all going out there with the Beats by Dre, and they're sponsored, the World Cup sponsored by somebody else, and that's where the problem comes in. But I thought, why do they need to be entertained? First off, you guys are here to entertain us, not listen to your favorite music. Like, they're going out into an arena. There's 100,000 screaming people with their faces painted. How much entertainment do you need pumping through those headphones? Isn't the volume that's pumping through the stadium enough? And why just in general, like, do we have, is it okay for our athletes just to walk out onto the hardwood or the football field or the soccer field and be listening to Lady Gaga? Like, how about you guys, here's the deal, we're giving you $20 million a year. Can you just focus for the next 3 hours?
I've always wondered about that, and I wonder if it has some, I mean, I wonder if the athlete would tell you that it's their personal ritual, it's their pump up, they don't want to get distracted by something that somebody might yell, so they would rather provide their own soundtrack, but it did always seem to me a little weird.
Right, it is, like, I get it, it's their personal whatever, but guess what, bitches, we're giving you $20 million, you're on our dime. It's our time. When we yell something out, I mean, imagine if Daryl Strawberry just stood out in left field while everyone went, Daryl. He had headphones on.
Yeah, no good.
We pay to mock you. That's part of the deal. I don't want you bringing, if you're playing baseball, I don't want you bringing any food out there. And if you're playing soccer, I don't want any beats from Dre. For the next 3 hours, how about this? You kick a ball around.
I think that's an excellent idea. Hey, by the way, you can buy a ticket and mock Adam Carolla, and he will hear you for the late show, 10 o'clock on Saturday night, July 19th. The early show already sold out. Go to adamcarolla.com to get tickets for the Gaslamp Restaurant and Bar in Long Beach. Don't forget Las Vegas at the end of the summer at the Treasure Island like he do. And the new book is called President Me, The America That's In My Head. Ace Man, thanks so much for joining us, man. Talk to you soon.
Love you.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for Wednesday. Not just any Wednesday, though. It's June 25th. You know what that means, Ralph. Half Christmas.
I'm not playing your little
Half Christmas.
Game.
What you making? Fruitcake.
A lot of requests for fruitcake.
What you making?
No requests.
Fruitcake.
Hearing from lots of people.
You're not cherries. From a lot of people. Red dye number two. Green cherries. Green ones too. It's fruitcake.
Isn't fruitcake by Fred Schneider alone enough of a reason for you to celebrate Half Christmas?
Pecans or walnuts.
You don't want to wait a whole year in between hearing airings of this song, do you?
Lots of stuff.
No.
And what you feel.
Yeah. Come on, Ralph. Sing it if you know it.
Sticks of butter. Cinnamon. Mo' molasses.
No.
Lots of dark rum.
No.
Artificial color.
No.
Artificial flavor.
No.
If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
I don't sense the spirit of the season from you, Mr. Garmin.
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to have some fun.
The half Christmas of singers Taylor Swift is in the news again.
How dare you?
More proof that she's slowly morphing into a crazy cat lady. Well, slowly morphing. It's a matter of opinion. She just got a new cat.
Oh, Olivia Benson? You don't have to tell me.
Oh, God.
Yay!
No, yay. Taylor Swift took videos of her new cat and put it all over the internet.
So cute. Did you see that cat sleeping on her lap when she was on the plane? It was adorable.
It just gets unbearable sometimes. It just gets unbearable.
Have you seen how cute this little kitten
is?
Oh my gosh, 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 oh my gosh.
It's like a toothache that goes, it's one of those toothaches that goes right down to your feet. It just goes right down from your jaw down to your foot. Olivia Benson, the name of the cat, is named after a character from Law & Order SVU, which makes perfect sense.
That's her favorite, it's Taylor's favorite show.
Okay, Bean.
Oh my gosh, 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 oh my gosh!
Lisa?
I don't know.
Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, he's really... Do you want Ralph to stomp out? Is this what you're...
No, I don't want that at all.
Me out of the room. You want to...
Because I sense that you are.
I thought that we were all having a good time. We're celebrating half Christmas together, enjoying a little fruitcake, talking a little Taylor Swift. This is turning into a perfect day.
Maybe just move on to the next story, Ralph.
Justin Bieber got into a car accident yesterday afternoon.
There you go.
All right, there's something we can all agree on. Okay.
He was a passenger in an Escalade that was being chased by paparazzi in Beverly Hills. A BMW pulled out of a restaurant parking lot and did not see the Escalade, which some say was speeding. There was an accident. Justin was not hurt, and neither was anyone else. Not that Justin stuck around to see that, because he immediately jumped out of the Escalade into another car and took off before finding out if anyone in the accident had been injured.
Sure, he can't be bothered
no.
with that.
No, why stick around and be a human being?
Yeah.
He's busy. He's got to go to Bible class and then the zoo. Piece of garbage. And Sir Paul McCartney wants you to know he's feeling great. For everyone who's asking, he's feeling great.
Okay.
Forget those rumors about him being really sick. He's feeling great.
Okay.
Hey, Sir Paul, how are you feeling?
Hold on.
Oh, we don't have Sir Paul on the phone here?
How much setup did you need, Mike? Didn't he give you like a half a minute?
Yeah, but Smugs. So he probably put it under Ringo. He probably filed it under Ringo somewhere in the audio file. So let me ask you again, now that you're here, Sir Paul. Sir Paul, how are you feeling?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Yeah, listen, everybody's been asking me how I feel. Mm-hmm. I feel great. Thank you very much for asking.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, listen, this is just also a note to say that the dates that was postponed, the concerts and the shows, have been rescheduled for September and October. So come and see us then. We'll come and see you. Feeling great, feeling rocking great. And rolling. Yeah!
So he's feeling great. Everyone who's asking, he's feeling great. Scheduled. That's so cute. The way they talk all funny over there. Speaking of which, I gotta go. Gotta go to the UK. Right now.
Right this second?
Right now, I gotta go. Doing Hollywood Babylon in Dublin, Ireland.
Isn't your plane in like 12 hours?
London and Birmingham. No, it's like in like 12 minutes. So, gonna head out of here. But hey,
what you making? Fruitcake.
Not making any fruitcake, no.
What you baking? Fruitcake.
No!
Real quickly, I want to thank everyone who picked up a copy of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. It was just announced today by DC Comics that the comic book is sold out.
Oh,
wow.
That's amazing.
A sellout.
Which now, is... you only made 100 of them, though, right?
You card.
No, congratulations. That's cool.
Yeah, it doesn't often happen, so they're going to have to go into a second printing sometime later this summer. So it's been very cool. So thanks, everybody. Today's celebrity birthdays, Busy Phillips and Linda Carnelini. Co-stars of Freaks and Geeks back in the day are celebrating birthdays today. Busy is 35. Linda is 39. Angela Kinsey of The Office is 43. Ricky Gervais, the man who invented The Office in the UK, is 53. Carly Simon, 69 years old today. Yeah. And singer George Michael, you knew him with Wham. You knew him with Bam. You knew him with Thank You, Ma'am. He is 51 years old today. Oh, yeah. Slow down. Yeah. Guilty feet have got no rhythm, my friends.
Yep.
Remember that always.
Good stuff.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks so much, Ralph Garman, and have a great time in Britain. By the way, your episode of Mark Maron's TV show is on tomorrow night.
That's
for folks who
right.
want to check that out as well.
IFC, check it out, The Maron Show. I'm on it, and Tom Kenny and Andy Kindler. And a bunch of funny people. Check it out.
It's going to be great. You know how you, before we say goodbye here for today, you know how you listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, and especially if you're a podcast listener and you hear something that's not very good, then something else that's worse, then something else that's real bad, but then there's one thing that's like good and worth hearing? You know how you're zipping through the show and you find that one gem?
Sure.
Well, that's what starts tomorrow here on K-Rock. It's the best of Kevin and Bean. So we get rid of the 90% of the show that's substandard and just give you the 10% that's worth hearing again, and that'll be all day long. So back to back. A lot of fun stuff and great guests that you might have missed over the past year or so. So that starts tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin – not on an all-new Kevin DeBeat show, on a best of Kevin DeBeat show. Have a great half Christmas, everyone. We'll see you soon.